Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with acclaimed Chicago-based jazz guitarist Bobby Broom on the 2026 album Note of Thanks. This new project is a tribute to his mentor, jazz icon Sonny Rollins, while it reunites him with his trio of bassist Dennis Carroll and drummer Kobe Watkins as they delve into the glorious Sonny songbook. Bobby was still a junior at New York's High School of Music and Art when he first played with the saxophone colossus at Carnegie Hall. Then at 20, he went on the road with Sonny for 6 years. This interview is quite poignant because it was done before the passing of Mr. Rollins, and that happened on May 25, 2026, at the age of 95. Sonny leaves an enormous legacy of music, but most importantly, he left an indelible mark on musicians like Bobby, whose life will always be enriched by the influence of Sonny. We interviewed Bobby back in 2018, and now we probe what is going on in the world, in his world, America at large, Sonny Rollins, and so much more. Enjoy this interview.
How are you?
Everything's good, man. How's the world treating you?
Everything's okay. Yeah.
I love it. I love the new album. I'm still a guy that puts it in the CD chamber and I drive around and let the world go by me. And it just makes
good.
Sense.
Everything oh, makes good. Sense.
So oh, it, cool. It's wonderful. And I got to thank you up front. In 2018, we interviewed. You were so gracious and nice, and you gave me so much more gusto with what I'm doing with these interviews.
Oh, good.
I felt like I was in a community of people that recognized that we're all just trying to lift up this art form, and
yeah.
I appreciate it. It was
oh,
huge.
Oh, man, that's so nice to hear.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So it was good, man.
Yeah, but, I remember. Was that we weren't doing Zoom then?
No, it was phone.
I remember seeing your face. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was
yeah.
In analog days, so to speak. But
right.
What
right.
A wonderful project, man. Note of Thanks, the Titan, Sonny Rollins, to get in there. So I'm looking forward to kind of examining all of those pieces. So, again, mm-hmm. It's so good to catch up. Thank you for taking a minute out today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You bet. And the one thing before we get into the album that happened between the time of our interview and now is the pandemic was such a huge shapeshifter. Did that have anything to do with you honoring Sonny? And how did it affect the way that you created and went about things?
You know, I must say, well, first of all, right, it's 6 months after, or just about 6 months after the pandemic, in the lockdown, I mean, 6 months before, I should say, I had secured a full-time teaching position at a university teaching position. So, you know, it was kind of, I've been teaching for my whole career as an adjunct, so part-time, but I'd been looking for, 8 years for a full-time position and applying different universities and around the country, and I finally got one. I was offered a position and took it here in my local area. So I was starting that, and then bam! All of a sudden, lockdown. And so, you know, I was just getting used to my commute and the schedule and the whole thing. And then now everything's different. Like, you know, we got teaching online and the whole thing. But it was interesting for me because it's like the first time in my life, really, that I was receiving a regular check, you know.
Yeah.
And I was feeling kind of guilty about that. Like, because all my friends are like scrambling and nobody's gigging anymore. And I thought about it and I said, man, as much as you invested in the music as a musician and you know you were in their shoes, you deserve this time now. So I got over that, whatever those feelings were. As far as the creativity, I don't think that much changed. I mean, you know, I remember we did a few gigs with masks in some venues that were like half full, and the seats had the distancing and the disinfectants and the whole thing. Not too many of those, you know, just a couple few of those. Recording, let's see, what was I doing? I think I released some live recordings that I had wanted to release, so that didn't require getting together. And then the time just passed. So, fortunately, and things got kind of back to whatever normal or the new normal or whatever that is. So, I don't know, I just kind of you flow with it and
It all seemed kind of like a blur. So let's get into the new album. What made you want to honor Sonny? What a wonderful project. It sounds so good. What
Thank
made
you.
you, what was the beginnings of coming up with this project?
I think just kind of an inkling, a thought that this was something that I wanted the trio specifically to do. We had some success with the Monk record, and people seemed to like the way that we interpreted, jazz music from the Pantheon, right? So it just was a thought like I need to do that for Sonny. And I don't know when that began, when that idea began, but it had been a number of years ago. And the trio had not recorded as a just as a trio. We did the quartet record, we did the big band record with the Chicago Jazz Orchestra, so we were together, but we didn't do hadn't done a record since, oh, I don't know, we recorded in 13 or something like that, 14. So that's a long time ago. So I was like, okay, guys, it's time to let's do this. After the big band record, I was thinking about it, or kind of putting it together. And really, the main reason was I wanted to honor my time with Sonny and all that he did for me and gave me and exposed me to, just as far as my life as a jazz musician.
So how did you go through his enormous catalog and whittle down the songs that you
Yeah,
landed on?
good question. Well, I think in this case, I had some personal experience with some of the material. I'm aware of much of his material. I knew that I did not want to do Olio, although we did attempt that, but I didn't like the way that it turned out. So I didn't want to do the obvious songs like St. Thomas and things like that, but I knew, okay, there's some classics that he's written that I want to include some of those. I want to include some of the things that I was familiar with from like the 70s and 80s and 90s that, people may not really be that familiar with, but the things that were close to me, either through experience or my own personal listening. So we included some of those. And there's some like some album deep cuts like Kim or Allison that people may not be that familiar with. So yeah, I just wanted and I wanted to spread the chronology, so to speak, across as much of his career, which is he had a long one, as possible.
It had feels so good to be back with the trio, huh? After all
Ooh.
that time.
Yeah, I mean, again, we were playing together and we were doing our thing within these other contexts, which was also cool to do, particularly with the big band, the way that we were able, and it's very subtle, because it's within the confines of this other music, these arrangements. But we were able to do what we do. So yeah, it was really a really great feeling to come back together and address this music and just reconvene. Yeah, absolutely.
The wonderful thing about Sonny Rollins is that when he enters your life, it changes everything for the better. And I knew very small early on in Neon Jazz when I interviewed him, it changed the entire trajectory of how I felt this reality. There's a gravity, there's a depth, there's a soul that I don't know that I've ever run into in another human being that is Sonny Rollins. And I'm wondering with you, how did this union happen? Take me back to the week or the day before you actually got the call and you were going to be with the magnificent Sonny Rollins.
Well, it was a kind of a sinewy story that I really did not understand until just recently. And I mean, it has not been confirmed, but it's pretty likely that this is how it went down. So before knowing this, though, I was a young musician, 16 years old, doing a talent show. Well, let's not go that far back. Let's just say I was doing an off-Broadway play, and a gentleman asked for me after the performance, and so I went out to speak with him, and he, "Yeah, you sound really good. My name is R.L. Excuse me, R.L. Ray, and I play guitar, with Sonny Rollins." And I said, "Oh, wow, yeah, Sonny Rollins. I know, Tenor Madness, yeah." And he, so we talk, and he eventually reaches into his jacket pocket and gives me a paper with this information. He says, "I want you to go to this rehearsal studio and do an audition with Sonny Rollins." And "What are you talking about? Like, you said you are the guitar player with the, what are you doing?" He's like, "Well, he's going to be looking for a guitar player soon." So I said, "Okay." So looking at the paper, looking at him, check out the address in the phone book, talk to my parents. They're like, "Okay, well, sounds cool, Gacy." So I go and walk in, and there's Sonny Rollins with Bob Cranshaw and the drummer Eddie Moore. "Hey, come on in and, set up. Here's your amp, and here's the music. Can you read these charts?" And it's like, "Yeah." And we played for an hour. And I mean, people go, "Well, were you nervous?" And I'm like, "No, not really. I was excited. I was really as very similar to now. It was an opportunity to make music with people, which I just cherish. I cherished it like that. Like, I'm not going to be able to do anything more than what I can do. So there's no reason for me to be nervous, or, all I can do is play. I was asked to be here. I'm supposed to be here. Like, and so we played for an hour. And he asked me to tour with him. And you go, "I'm about to go do some college dates." I said, "No, I'm sorry, I can't go, So yeah, I'm trying to graduate high school." He says, "Oh yeah, right. I'm sorry, I forgot." Right? Okay. And that was that. I mean, and then it went on from there. I mean, the other things, great things happened, and our. Yeah, as you said, my life was never the same. We continued our connection, and he invited me to play with him. Maybe not quite a year later at Carnegie Hall, and I did that. And then a couple of years after that, he asked me to join his band. We kept in touch, and yeah, it just went on. And 5, 6 years then, and then a 20 years break of life, and then he asked me back. So I didn't understand how this guy would show up magically with a pre determined information ready to give me. Like, how it never made any sense until I'm reading Sonny's book. And he says, "Yeah, one of my friends that really knew where if I was being reclusive, and no one knew where I was. One of the few people that knew how to get in touch with me was Al Haig, and I went, oh my gosh, that's what it was. Because I had started playing with Al Haig during that time that I was doing the play. I was taken to go sit in with him, and he liked my playing and invited me to come play with him during his weekly engagement at this place called Gregory's in Manhattan on the Upper East Side. And so I would go to him two, three times a week to play, get home by my 12 midnight curfew. So they were talking on the phone, I guess. Al and Sonny, and Al must have told them, but that's still miraculous. That's still magical. It answers questions, but it's still kind of otherworldly,
Well,
right?
you know, at that age in your life, it's such a pivotal crossroads for development, finding yourself, your voice, who you are. And the thing about Sonny is, yeah, he's a legendary person, but he's a stellar human being. What was it like to be around him at that age, forming who you were? How instrumental was he in the way that you shaped your life?
Well, what I was seeing and admiring was just this gentleman of jazz, this ambassador of the music and of the musical culture, and culture in general, we were traveling all over the world. He was being, receiving adulation, being admired, being respected in a certain way that was much different than the stories in the books about what jazz was 20, 30 years earlier, with the drug-addled musicians and the late nights and the drinking and the blah blah. It wasn't anything but that. We're playing a respectable venue. It was something gave me something to aspire to, right? And I was just taking it in. I was very young, so I maybe wasn't consciously aware or thinking of it like that at the time. But on some level, I was.
You know, the one thing about Sonny throughout his career too is that he you know, I heard a story about him being at Ground Zero after 9/11 happened, and an interviewer went up to him and he was playing his horn, and she was like, what's your name? Who are you? She didn't know who he was. And Sonny was down there playing for the first responders. And there's been a part of him that's always understood that art is a way of healing us in trying times. And right now in 2026, you release this album of, of Sonny's work while we're going through all of this tumult and this strangeness. How much of what we're living through right now are you thinking as an artist to give people that escape, to give them some comfort? Is that something that you're thinking about now with albums and live shows?
I think that that's always kind of an undercurrent, whether we address it directly via song titles or album cover, album titles, making it a mission statement for a project. We're all living through all of the tumult that we are all living through all the time. I mean, really, sorry to sound maudlin, but this is what it is. It's part of life that nothing has ever. I need to try to highlight the positive, the good, the goodness in the total situation, which is not all good or all bad hopefully, and then, when I say that, I have to think about, well, it could be a lot worse, and thinking about other parts of the world and what other people may be dealing with. And it just, man, that just humbles me and makes me want to be quiet,
Yeah.
and just play music, because there's nothing that I can say that's not going to sound silly, in relation to another situation. So just like, being grateful and showing grace. And I think that music has the capability, the ability possibly to I mean, it does. It transcends words, right? And so we're really unaware of the meaning and how it can affect people. I know how it affects me. I know that it's one of the highest states that I have experienced in this lifetime.
Yeah.
So all I can hope is that is, that's what I'm offering. That's where I'm offering it from, to share that, hopefully. I mean, that's all I have,
So the new album honoring Sonny, Note of Thanks, streaming everywhere. If anybody wants to get a copy, they want to catch you live. The warm months are upon us. How can they do that? What's going on?
Go to bobbybroom.com and let's see. Yeah, that's it in my socials. We're always talking about something.
Right on. I will put all these links in the show notes. Bobby, the beauty of this new era is that we get to see each other. It's so good to see you. I've always been such a huge fan, profiled you on the show. You're such a wonderful human being. Thank you, sir. Thank you for your
Thank
time.
you.
I really
Thank
appreciate it.
you.
Thanks for listening and tuning into another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and minds in Chicago, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. And thanks to Bobby for swinging back by the show. It's always an honor. If you want to hear more Neon Jazz interviews, you can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to us at YouTube. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to theneonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.